T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker, along with Randy McMichael. Glad to have you hanging out with us.
Yes.
Wherever you're joining us from, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and of course on the radio.com app. We'll talk a little Braves baseball coming up about 20 to 25 minutes from right now. Paul Byrd, Braves analyst.
Cool, Paul.
Fox Sports South. He'll be with us, and we'll get a chance to our Fox Sports Southeast, as it's known now. Paul will be with us. We'll talk a little bit about what we saw last night on the field from the Braves, and then, of course, this was supposed to be the week for SEC Media Days down at the College Football Hall of Fame, but instead, they were canceled.
What are they doing?
So kind of doing our own little bit of Media Days. We'll talk a little SEC football every day. Georgia yesterday. Today we'll talk Tennessee. Brent Hubbs from VolQuest.com.
Really?
Join us.
Hold on. How'd that get past me? We're going to do Tennessee. Really?
Yeah. You didn't know?
Well, we might as well get some tech guys on then. I mean, damn. Get a Florida guy on.
We will.
I'm just kidding. I'm just
you
joking.
Told your horses.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, I'm just kidding. I would like to respectfully, you know, ask questions to about the Tennessee Vols, because there are some Vol listeners. Believe me, I know, because they, anytime Tennessee does something good, what about the Vols, Randy? I'm like, okay, man, calm down. I didn't tweet you when they got beat by Georgia State, but that's not either here nor there, Chris. You know, they're going in the right direction. You know, Pruitt, he's building something, a nice culture up there in Knoxville.
Yeah, we'll get a chance to talk with Brent about that. He's been around the Tennessee program for a long time, so look forward to that. So that's coming up at 12:20 today. Right now, though, it's time for the NFL No Huddle.
We're going No Huddle.
With the Midday Show No Huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Go now, let's go! Zach!
This hour is brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Just another way they make you smile. Randy, the Falcons released their all-decade team defense and special teams today. Offensive team will be released July 20th, so you'll have to wait until next week to see that. It was actually yesterday they released this. It's at AtlantaFalcons.com. Couple things here. 3 current Falcons made the list. Grady, Deion Jones, Ricardo Allen. Any surprises for you on this list?
I'm trying to pull up the list right now. I mean, Grady, let me see. Where is it at?
Look, Grady's going to go down as
One of the best. Yeah without a doubt.
He's going to go down as one of the all-time great Falcons in history. Probably the best defensive tackle in team history by the time he's done.
Okay, I got it up right now. And I don't have a problem with it when you look at the defensive side of the ball. You know, I mean, there are some guys that, of course, John Abraham has to be on. I think he's the best pass rusher ever for the Falcons. I mean, I played against him in 3 places, and he was always bringing in every place he played at. Vic Beasley. Okay. I mean, hey, he did have that one great year. I love the Babs. He was always one of the most underrated defensive tackles, and not in just in football. I mean, when you look at Babs, he just went out there. He did his job. He was rugged. He was tough. Hell of a damn leader. And, you know, I'm so glad he was on this list. You know, the linebackers, of course, I like Deion Jones. I mean, Curtis, I wish Curtis would have stayed in Atlanta before he went to New Orleans. I really wish he would have stayed, but the money-wise. And Spoon, if Spoon would have just stayed healthy, man. I mean, the one thing I love when I played against Spoon was Spoon, the energy that Spoon would bring. And I remember, we played him in San, when they came out to San Diego, we played him. And damn, like Spoon made up. This is what happened. Spoon batted a ball down, right? And was just screaming and hollering. I'm just like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, I mean, the energy. Like, seriously, he batted a ball down from a running back, and it would have been probably a two-yard gain, and it was, like, on first down. I was like, what the hell is wrong with you, man? But I understood the passion that he played with, and I would have loved to see him, you know, without all the injuries. Because, I mean, Spoon, there were no really holes in his game outside of him being injured. But I'm talking about Spoon could rush the passer. He could play in the box. He could cover running backs. He could cover tight ends. I mean, he was such a good player when he was healthy. Just hated the fact that he was that he got injured, man. I mean, that was the part that sucked.
And I had almost forgotten about Curtis Lofton.
Yeah,
and just how good he was during the time he was here.
He was good. He was really good while he was here, man. He was really good. Yeah. And when y'all look at the DBs, like, I mean, I guess you could have Alford and Trufant. I would have put Brent Grimes over Alford because I thought Brent was a hell of a player. Now, he would continue to be a hell of a player after he left Atlanta, and it was unfortunate when he got hurt because I remember we were watching tape because we were playing Kansas City, and we were getting ready for Kansas City, and to watch how Brent went down and, like, nobody was around, you're like, damn. And nobody really knew Brent. I met Brent during the lockout because I was staying here in Atlanta a lot during the lockout, and so I would train up with a lot of the Falcons players, and that's how I got to know Brent. And, like, I ain't never seen nobody that athletic in my life. We had this challenge, Chris, where we would do the stairs, right? And then it would be, you know how they do the box jumps? Well, we were doing stair jumps, and, like, guys were getting 7. Damn, Brent went up to, like, 13. He just leaped, and you're like, who the hell is this guy? And they were like, man, that's Brent, man. He gonna be that dude, man. I'm like, okay, I never heard of, but then got a chance to watch him play one of the best corners of his generation. Brent was a really good player. I mean, he really was. Willie Mo, everybody knows Willie Mo. Willie Mo brought that thump, you know. Willie was a strict enforcer. But I mean, I have no problem with the list. I mean, it's just a list, right? But
yeah,
Vic Beasley thing, but I'm trying to think. If it's not Vic, then who is it at DN?
Well, that was my thing. Yeah. I had the same impression you had.
Yeah.
Vic on there, yeah, I guess he makes it off of 1 year, but then you start to look, okay, if not Vic, then who?
Yeah.
And I couldn't Bierman? Come up with
Bierman.
Yeah, I mean, I could, and I'm with you on Babineau, too. I love Babineau.
Yeah, Babs was a hell of a player, man. Babs was a hell of a player, man. But, yeah, I mean, yeah. What's that thing? Yeah, I think it's about right. I can deal with that list. I would have Brent as a current as one of the corners. I thought, how did – no, he didn't play that well. He was okay. But, yeah, all right, we'll move on because I like it.
Yeah, offensive team set to be released next week. NFL unveils new face shields, the Oakley Mouth Shield, a product designed by Oakley in collaboration with doctors and engineers from the NFL and the NFL Players Association to mitigate the spread of the coronavirus on the field of play. It's expected to be distributed to all 32 teams over the next week, where it will receive a test drive on a much larger scale than it has gotten to date. Plastic sheets extend down and attach to the face guard. There's airways and openings on the mouth shield, but none that allows the direct transmission of droplets.
Yeah,
what, the guys going to drown in their own spit and sweat now? I don't understand how this is going to work.
I don't either. There's nothing nastier than your damn helmet. I mean, it is filthy. It really is, Chris. And I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, even without this, the one thing that, you know, every organization I played at is the constantly cleaning of the shoulder pads and the helmet and the face mask and the inside of your helmet. They clean it all the time. And so with this situation, I said it yesterday, if the guys want to play and this is going to be a requirement, guys are going to play in. I know J.J. Watt said that, you know, he won't play in it, but eventually J.J. Watt's going to play because this is a requirement to get out there and play football. You're going to wear it. I wouldn't like wearing it either. I don't like wearing nothing. I said this last week. I tried to wear a shield one time. Just wasn't something that I felt comfortable in. And so, I mean, and a lot of guys nowadays are wearing the shield. They start wearing the shield when they're 5 damn years old. And they, you know, and now they're so used to it. I could never get used to it. But, I mean, it's going to have to be an adjustment if this is a requirement of playing football. And the guys want to play football, you got to wear it. I mean, would you think that they would give them an option or would they make it mandatory? I think that's the bigger question. Is it going to be mandatory or would it be the option?
But I think that's one of those things that's going to have to be worked out in these meetings, these contract talks between the NFL and the NFLPA that they're still trying to work through. I think this may be something that the owners may try to ask for. Because ultimately, the owners, I think, do want to keep these guys healthy because it benefits the NFL when they've got their star players on the field.
Yeah, it benefits them, but the owners are about that money. That's what their biggest thing right now is this revenue. And that's going to be one thing, is because when you do have the revenue sharing like the NFL, everybody's going to lose money. You just got to find out how to pay it back. And I know the players, they want to stretch it. I don't know how the owners want to do it. But, yeah, I mean, the owners want the money. Let's just call it what it is. And the players want the money, too. You want to be able to make a living. But I think the players think it's more safety than the owners really are. Not saying that the owners don't care about the players' safety. I don't think that's the first priority of the owners. I think that's one of the first priorities of the players. And when you look at how the players are talking, and as far as the negotiation, they had talks yesterday. Of course, it didn't go anywhere, because the first talk with the owners never go anywhere. It's just a fill-it-out process that's going to continue today and the day after and the day after. And it's going to have to rev up, because if they're expecting players to be in training camps by July 28th, they need to hurry some stuff up, Chris. they need to hurry something up.
Richard Sherman, who's on the NFLPA Executive Committee, said that it was a good meeting. We were blunt and honest with them. We will not compromise on players' health in these discussions. And look, I guess the owners are going to implement the rules, and then the players can challenge that from a safety of the workplace standpoint that's collectively bargained. So, and then they're going to go back and forth on this for a while. You're right, Randy. Time is running out to be able to. If you're going to start training camp on time, this has to move along at a little bit quicker pace. ESPN.com said yesterday that they were close to agreeing on a deal, but then you see not much progress happen. So are they still close? Are they farther apart than what ESPN thinks?
I don't think they're close. I don't think they're close. I just don't. And I don't want to say, because it's a different type of negotiation than the CBA. That's why I don't know if they're close or not. I know that they got to figure out how they're going to get these players in. We've been talking about certain things, Chris, as far as like, do you bring in one group at one time? Because you're going to have to give these players that 3-week period or whatever that they're just going to have to be training, as far as, you know, on the field drills and things like that, and some against air type plays where you're just running, there's no defense out there, you just get working on timing and rhythm with all 11. You're going to have to do that before you can bring all these, you know, all the guys in at one time. Are they going to have 90 guys like they usually have? Are they going to cut it down? I mean, there's so many different things that they got to work on. But the first thing should be what's going to be the safety precautions to bring these guys back, and what's going to happen when you get them on the football field.
It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the NFL No Huddle. Speaking of deals not getting done, report out of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram yesterday, the Cowboys and Dak Prescott have not had contract talks since March. Cowboys offered a 5-year deal worth more than $34 million per year, $110 million guaranteed. Talk about deadlines. Tomorrow is the deadline. Randy, doesn't sound like Dak gets that extension done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so tired of talking about Dak's damn contract. I really mean, it should have been done. And now you're at a situation where, I mean, they did the same thing with Dez Bryant. They got a deal done the day before the deadline. And I mean, there's 14, if I'm not mistaken, franchise players, one transition player. And, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that, you know, that anybody's going to get a deal done. Now, like, hey, deadline spurring action. And there could be some negotiations going on right now with a lot of these guys trying to get that long-term deal worked out. But, I mean, with the uncertainty of what's going to happen next year with the salary cap and all these things, I mean, when you're talking about paying a player the kind of contract that Dak wants and the kind of contract that Chris Jones wants, I mean, it's going to be, you know, a little bit of cause to pause. Do I think Dak is $34 million quarterback? No, I don't. I don't think Dak is a top 10 quarterback, but hell, he wins. I mean, they've won with him. I mean, show me the resume. Why do people have a problem with Dak getting paid? That's all. I think I've been on this all offseason, Chris. Why do y'all have a problem with Dak getting his money? I mean, Dak wasn't no first round pick. Dak was a fourth round draft pick that outplayed his contract. Why can't Dak get paid? Oh, yeah. Why can't Dak get paid? I mean, I know, you know, the quarterback for the Cowboy, we know that's a big thing and everything, but yeah, give Dak his money. Give him his money, Jerry.
I don't know that there's any quarterback in the league. Look, the way Patrick Mahomes has set the bar now, Randy, and as you have mentioned, when there is so much uncertainty in regards to NFL owners trying to project revenues, they don't know what revenue is going to be in 2020.
Exactly.
They don't know what it's going to look like in 2021. Short of Pat Mahomes, I don't know that there's anybody else that really wants to be a free agent right now, because – I think there may be a ceiling as to how much anybody gets going forward.
But this was the year.
He's a generational type guy. I mean, you had to pay him. There is no way you can let that guy leave Kansas City anytime soon. So the Chiefs had to do what the Chiefs had to do. I don't know that anybody else, including the Cowboys, are in that same sort of situation.
I don't either, man. And the thing with – and you got more agents coming out. I wouldn't let Pat – the thing with – I think people need to realize that your agent works for you. And if Dak says goes to Todd Friends, like, Todd, take the deal – Todd's not going to be like, no, you ain't taking a deal. He's like, okay, I'm going to call Jerry. We're going to get this thing signed. So the Patrick Mahomes thing, I think it was Pat saying, hey, you know what, I'm good. I got more than everybody else. There won't be anybody that's going to average as much as me. I mean, as much as we could talk about, I love me some Deshaun Watson, he won't get close to it. I mean, the next person that might get close to it, who's a generational type talent, might be Trevor Lawrence, and he ain't even in the league yet. You know, so we'll see how that goes. Brian just texted me that, Jason Peters just re-signed with the Eagles, which I kind of figured he was going to go back. But now they're talking about they're signing him to play guard, which is a hell of a move. And, I mean, the Eagles, I mean, they lost their all-world guard, and now you replace him with a player like Jason Peters. He's 38 years old. How much does he have left in the tank? But I thought that was a good signing for him.
It's a look at our NFL no huddle. We'll circle back around to some NFL coming up later on before the end of the show. Let's talk a little Braves baseball next. Paul Byrd, Braves analyst for Fox Sports Southeast. He'll join us.
We'll
talk a little bit about what we saw last night on the field at Truist Park with the Braves and what this 60-game sprint of a Major League Baseball season may look like. That's next when Paul Byrd drops by on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and always on the Radio.com app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The world of sports has changed, and when it comes to Atlanta sports fans, no one keeps you up to date like we can. We're covering what matters here, locally in the world of sports. For continuing updates, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Felt good. It felt pretty close, really, to be honest with you. Anytime you get out there and you're facing hitters, really, especially when they're hitters that are going to talk to you after they get a hit. That's kind of something that motivates you to keep pounding it. And to be honest with you, it felt pretty close to a real game.
Play ball!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker alongside Randy McMichael. Glad to be hanging out with you today. That's Braves pitcher Mike Soroka you just heard from. He was on the mound last night as the Braves played an intra-squad game that we all got a chance to watch it live last night on Fox Sports Southeast. Braves analyst Paul Byrd, former Braves pitcher,
Paul,
part of the Fox Sports Southeast crew, joining us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Paul, what should fans take away from what we saw for the Braves last night?
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. Thanks for having me on the show. Baseball is back. It was very weird for me, you know, last night. So we had no sound. We had no camera angles. We had no fans in the stands and just total silence, you know. So they told us, hey, keep talking because we've never done this before in our lives. And all that craziness, in the difference, whatever. I just really liked seeing guys play baseball. I mean, I knew I missed it, but I didn't know how much. It just felt really, really good. Even though it was awkward, it was just nice to see Mike Soroka face Ozzy Albies and, you know, Albies get a hit and go to first and, you know, start jawing at him. It was just a lot of fun. And, you know, it's going to be better on the broadcast in the future. But I think overall, as weird as it was last night, a lot of fans were just so excited to see baseball come back. And I think we've all really missed it.
Paul, we just watched Mike Soroka. I mean, where do you see him at right now? Because he pitched well in the first scrimmage. He pitched well again. He looks like he's ready to roll as far as maybe going maybe in the first start against the Mets. Maybe he gets to maybe the sixth inning mark.
I think so. You know, last night he was just throwing a lot of breaking balls. So, you know, as I was talking about, you pitch and you get your arm strength going, and then his sinker is so good. And he didn't throw any last night. I mean, very few. He was just really working on his changeup and working on his slider. So when I see that, those are the last things to come. Both pitches looked really good. He says he's never felt better at this stage in the career. So, you know, his arm probably appreciated getting the extra rest, and he's going to be a horse coming out of the gate against the Mets, and he could have an incredible season.
Former Braves pitcher Paul Byrd, he's now a part of the Braves broadcast on Fox Sports Southeast. He's with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Paul, you've already mentioned the lack of crowd noise that we've all grown accustomed to when it comes to baseball. This season, though, is going to be unlike anything that I think any of us have ever seen. Yeah. What do you think is going to be the most difficult part for the players?
Well, there is something, you know, and Randy, you know this, there's something that goes through your veins when 30, 40,000 people erupt. Mm-hmm. And you reach a level of adrenaline that's just hard to get when you're in spring training and nobody's there. And so I think, I mean, just being honest as an athlete, there's just something to that. Fans are very, very important. Whether you're playing at home or whether you're playing away, you know, and I think that players are really going to miss that. That doesn't mean, you know, you're not going to play hard and compete hard and all those things. It's just a different level with fans in there. And, you know, there's something to that on the broadcast last night that I learned too. And I've seen over in Korea and things but there's when there's a foul ball, I love to see fans go for it. I love to see a kid eating a hot dog. I love to see, you know, people jump up and erupt at a great play. And when those things didn't happen last night, even though I've really missed baseball and I was still entertained and enjoyed watching the scrimmage, there's going to be something missing. And so it's going to be up to us, broadcasters, players, and others, to bring things to the game, be on top of our game, be creative to make things interesting with the absence of fans.
Paul, with Freddie down right now and Cakes, you know, him deciding not to to participate this year, we've been having this discussion the last couple of years. Who are some of the leaders? I automatically came out with like Ozzy. He seems like he carries himself like a leader. As silly, as much fun as he has, he seems like he's one of those developing leaders. Who do you see as that guy if Freddie is out for a prolonged time? And how important is leadership in baseball, really?
Well, I think it is, and I think you have different type of leaders. You know, Markakis was not necessarily a verbal leader. He wasn't going to give a speech, you know, to the team. But he was like E.F. Hutton, you know, when he did talk, people were going to listen because he didn't say very much. But he led by example, and he never gave away an at-bat. He worked extremely hard. Freddie's more vocal, also works really hard. So it'll be up to some of those other guys to step up. Guys like Ozzy Albies, even Acuna, are leaders in the way they play the game because they have so much fun. They remind other people to have fun, that it's a game. But they're not necessarily that veteran leader that's going to speak from experience of a 10-year career. And you need all kinds of leaders in a clubhouse. The Braves losing Markakis, you know, is a big loss, but I do expect Freddie to be back sometime soon. We don't know, but I'm encouraged that he feels good, doesn't have symptoms anymore, and you're going to need guys like that in the locker room. Cole Hamels will have to, you know, step up as well. I know he's injured right now, but he will be a leader even if he's not on the field. Guys like Tyler Flowers will have to quarterback, and I think the Braves are going to be okay in that department.
Paul Byrd with us, hanging out with us here on the Midday Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Paul, Randy and I talked about this earlier this morning. You and Jerome talked about it last night during the broadcast. You're a fan of the opener. What's the advantage of using an opener?
Yeah, so as I was saying, the team that scores first, you know, wins the game 64 to 67% of the time, depending on the year, falls in that category. So scoring first is really, really important. Some games are 1-0, but there's a big mental advantage to being ahead in the game. And, you know, you're going to use pitchers differently if you're ahead versus if you're behind. You're going to put in your better pitchers, your top setup men. And so there's something to getting ahead in the game that feels good mentally, confidence, et cetera. So the thinking is, if I can use one of my stud set up men or closers to open a game, keep their team from scoring for the first couple innings and face the top part of their lineup, I increase my chances to score. If I can score first, I have a mathematical advantage to win. So that's the thinking behind it. But you have to have the right team do that. You can't have just one closer. You have to have multiple setup men, good closers, and people that can do that and open kind of night after night. And that's what the Rays proved, you know, a couple years ago with the opener, how successful it was. And that's something that really kind of changed baseball. Again, you have to have the right team to do that. If you have four or five dominant starters, you're not going to use an opener. But if you have the right kind of team that has a lot of good bullpen pitchers, then you can afford to do that. And in a situation like this year where starters may be a little bit behind, you know, I'm not necessarily going to do that for Mike Soroka on the hill. But depending on what could happen, the Braves have the option to utilize that strategy of an opener. And this season is something managers have never done before. So I love that Snit was open to it. Alex Anthopoulos is certainly not oblivious to the new analytics. And so it's something that they will think about as the year progresses.
When you look at, and you just mentioned, I was hoping I wasn't going to get a chance to ask you this question about Cole Hamels, who is Brian, our producer, Brian Gebhardt, is his favorite pitcher. When you look at the loss of him, and we don't know how long he is actually going to be at, but you do lose King Felix, and he's on the shelf right now.
Yeah.
Who is these next guys? Because I like Newcomb. I just don't know what I'm going to get with Nuke every day, every outing. Who are some of the other guys that might need to step up, like Kyle Wright? When are we going to get to see what these guys can do?
Yeah, and I think that's the fun part about this year is who is going to step up. Unfortunately, Kyle Wright's a little bit behind. What I like about Hamels right now is that it's nothing serious. He was playing catch yesterday. When you're hurting, you're not playing
right.
Catch. So he just got a little bit of tendonitis. He's going to let clear up. You know, they haven't even ruled him out, you know, for the opening week, being in the back part of that rotation and throwing two innings or things like that. But I do think Nuke has certainly earned the chance to start. It all comes down to control for him. His stuff is so good that if he commands his fastball, he's going to be a starter and he's going to be very good. They're going to need guys like that to step up. They're going to need Mike Foltynewicz in the second half. You know, Fried and Soroka, I'm not super worried about, but you are going to have, you know, a few holes in that rotation. And that's where I think you could see, you know, don't everybody panic. But you could start a Luke Jackson for two innings who has great stuff.
Don't do that to me, Paul!
Yeah, I know. You could start a Shane Green. You know, everybody either loves Luke or hates him. I love him. Every time I say this, a positive. People go nuts. You know, it was his first year last year closed and he was learning. But, you know, if he gets better, then I think the Braves are going to have, you know, guys like a Shane Green, somebody that you could start out early and kind of mix it with some mid relievers. And I will say this, guys, mid relievers this year are going to be crucial.
Right.
It is crucial that you have a good, you know, 10th, 11th, 12th man on your pitching staff, because he's going to be in a crucial parts of the game and he's going to need to help out. And that goes for the minor league system, that pool as well.
Paul, I know it was different last night, but you and Jerome did a heck of a job, as
yes.
always, and looking forward to you guys again and more Braves Live as soon as we can get this season underway now in less than 2 weeks. So appreciate you giving us some time today.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Guys, I appreciate you saying that so much. You have no idea. Broadcasting with no sound was not easy, but we had a lot of fun, and I appreciate you having me on your show.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Yeah, they did a heck of a job last night.
I thought it was good. I mean, but I can see where he's, you know, it kind of probably felt strange that he was, you know, because this is all going to be adjustment for everybody. I'm sure the first time when they run out, you know, and go play a game, just like when we saw the Bundesliga, it was probably strange that first time you go out there, like, damn, ain't nobody here. I'm sure it's going to be like that. And hopefully, you know, everything goes off without a hitch and we'll get fans in there hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah, let's hope so. But again, to echo Paul's sentiments, I'm glad to see baseball back. So we'll get opening day here soon and get this thing started. We'll step into the Windy Zone. We'll do that next. The Midday Show. Chris Goforth in place of Andy Bunker this week, along with Randy McMichael. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and always on the radio.com app.
Milburn.
What's up, babes?
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Check out Mike Contest. He joins us every Monday at 9:20. He can talk Atlanta United. He can talk Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Falcons. He's a man of all hats on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up.
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
The Wendy Zone brought to you by Wellstar. More than healthcare, it's people care. Wendy, what's up today?
Well, happy Mac and Cheese Day, everybody. Yesterday was National Friday, so if you want some mac and cheese today, today is your day. Because we always have to celebrate a food every day, right, Randy?
Best mac and cheese, Auntie Pam's.
Ooh, yes. There's nothing like homemade mac and cheese.
Yes.
Does she use like different types of cheeses in her mac and cheese?
She won't let us see. She don't let nobody make
it. Oh, it's a secret recipe?
She came over here one time and made it.
Randy. You want to know why? Because everyone had it before I got there.
Oh, yeah. That is always the first to go. The first to go. Last time we had to get together, it wasn't as many people. So it was a little leftover left of macaroni left. So, I hid that. I'm like, no, y'all ain't going to get that. Between that and my potato salad, I'm hiding it.
You stashed it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all making me hungry. I got a box of Kraft in the pantry. I'm about to go downstairs and make some mac and cheese.
No, don't do the Kraft. Is it the shells?
No shells.
I mean, I haven't had Kraft macaroni in so long, but we got so much damn macaroni and cheese. Cause the little man, that's where he liked macaroni, and so we got them little cup things that you pour the water in. 3 minutes, he got them macaroni. Yes.
Oh, so that's it. Like the cheese powder. That's not. Yep. That's not mac and cheese.
Hey, he likes it. I like it.
I really don't know the last time I had mac and cheese, but you cannot go wrong with any mac and cheese that is put in the oven. Well, so I told you about this yesterday. We all know about the Instagram model who was asked to the bubble, and it was one of the first questions that we had once the NBA announced there was going to be a bubble. No families invited. So there was another part of this, and we all knew there was going to be some hiccups with NBA players trying to get out of the bubble and to see who would do it first. I think, Randy, you said J.R. Smith was going to be the first.
Yes, we thought so.
To get out of the bubble. Chris, if you had guessed before the season started which NBA player was going to sneak out of the bubble first, who would you have said?
Oh, my gosh. Well, JR is a pretty good he's a pretty good suggestion. I'd probably have to agree with Randy and go with JR.
All right. JR seems like a pretty good guess. Well, guys, we're now 4 days into the bubble. On Monday, yesterday, announced that Sacramento Kings' Rashawn Holmes would have to quarantine for 10 days after he left the NBA bubble to pick up his Postmates order. So according to Holmes, this was on his Twitter, there was some confusion about the policy as he, quote, accidentally crossed the NBA campus line. Now, I just have a theory. I'm just wondering who he had deliver his Postmates order, if you could choose your driver. And there's potential other things going on than a Postmates order, because you can get that stuff delivered right to your door.
Man, let me tell you something. This is why it's funny, because I'm sure the young man didn't mean no harm. I'm almost positive he did not mean any harm when he did that. And it's just funny. The funniest thing was his mama's reaction, because that was just
yes.
His mama's reaction was the best ever. And whenever you can get cut on by your mama, because they jokes just cut a little different. But I mean, I was like, when I saw that, I was like, damn, baby, you that hungry?
Well, if you don't know what Randy's talking about, his mom's response was, quote, yes. You only cross the line for your mama's cooking, and I was not in Florida, sir. LOL, is, love you, baby.
That is so mama. That is such a mama response, because she knows she got to lighten the mood, because she know everybody's about to kill her son, which is an honest mistake that he made. But it's kind of funny, though, because, I mean, you mean to tell me that you got to go back up in there and sit in there in quarantine for 10 more days because you were hungry? I bet that damn food better been good.
I heard it was those Checkers French fries that you guys were talking about yesterday that got him out.
I mean, there's some food that would be worth breaking the bubble for.
Ain't no food good enough for me to have to sit in my damn room for 10 more days.
Randy?
I can't think of nothing that's good. I mean, it's some good food. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong, man. Give me a good steak. I just had one of the best steaks ever, too.
What about banana pudding?
Mama's banana pudding?
Yep.
Because it had to be mama. It got to be mama nana pudding.
Your mom's nana pudding.
Damn it, Wendy.
I'm just saying.
Now, I'm stuck down there in Orlando like all the players. I'm in their predicament, right?
You're in the same situation. There's banana pudding just beyond, and it's your mom's, just beyond that little threshold line. Are you stepping over the threshold line and risking 10 days of quarantine for
Did
that.
Did she toss it to me?
Nope. You have to. You're like all these NBA players, Randy. They're trying to figure out how to get out of this bubble. And you're doing exactly what they are probably sitting in their rooms doing and trying to come up with some sort of plan to get out of the bubble, sneak out.
No, I can't risk it, man. I can't risk it. I can't do it. I'm gonna find a way to get it in, though. I sure am.
Well, guys, another story that came out yesterday. It's the annual Sports Illustrated edition, and we have three cover girls this year. You have Olivia Culpo, who used to be, I believe, Miss America. I believe that Miss America, and she's currently dating Carolina Panthers superstar Christian McCaffrey. Randy, I had you look up the cover.
Before
the segment.
Yeah. All right. Well, I see you, Christian. Okay. This the
that's
young
the
lady
same
that
girl
was,
that dated.
Yeah, that was
dating
my man Danny.
Yeah, Danny.
Oh, okay. And like she. Oh. Ooh.
What are you oohing about?
Like she's like. Like, she's almost 30. Ain't Christian like 22? Yeah, I see you, Christian.
Yeah, he.
Go ahead, boy.
She's older than he is.
Go ahead, boy. Yeah, I mean, it's a nice cover. I mean, it's nice. I mean, that ain't my type. You know, me, I like them a little meat. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I ever go out with you, first place, we stopping at a buffet. You know, but I mean, she looks good on the cover, though. I give her that. She does look outstanding. But, yeah.
You also have Kate Bock, who is in a relationship with Kevin Love. They've been longtime boyfriend and girlfriend.
Okay.
So that is Kevin Love's girlfriend. And then you have Jasmine Saunders, who has been linked to NBA player Kelly Oubre.
Kelly Oubre. Oh, he played for the Suns, right? Am I right, Brian? He played for the Suns? I think that's who he played with. I think he played for the Suns, right?
Yeah, I believe you're correct. Hey.
Good for y'all, man. Good. You got some nice looking ladies there. That's sweet.
So they all did a cover together. So there's three on the cover. Now, this photo shoot was before quarantine happened. So they wrapped up this photo shoot with all three of them together back in November. They wrapped up all the photo shoots in the beginning of March before everyone was set to quarantine. So if people have questions on why they're standing so close together, that's the reason. But they have three additional individual covers. So you have the one with all three of them, and then you can buy your additional covers. But I don't really know the last time I went out and bought a magazine, to be honest.
When's the last time you had a magazine subscription anywhere? I mean, I can't even think. I mean, I think when I was in college, I might have had a subscription to like Sporting News. But since I've been playing, I haven't had a subscription to anything. And because I'm the worst at canceling subscriptions, like the worst. Like I'm always getting charged, and you look back at your credit card, like, why the hell am I getting charged with? Oh, because you forgot to do the free after 7 days, you forgot to cancel the subscription. So I'm the worst in the world, Adam, right now. And like she's always reminding, like she reminded me yesterday, I think it was about the damn the grocery cart thing, Wendy. Like you made sure you cancel it, and Wendy, I've ordered from there every single day this week.
You're not canceling last week. That.
Every day last week and this week, man. I'm just sitting back ordering groceries. What y'all want to eat? All right, cool. I mean, I got some, what I got coming? I got some okra coming today with some ribs. Gonna make it Senegal today. So, I mean, Wendy, this is the greatest thing in the world. The greatest. Chris, if you don't want to ever leave your house, make sure you go download. Let me Instacart. Instacart, Chris. Everything you need. Y'all got it?
Yep.
Why the hell am I so late on this?
Yep, we got it. We've had shipped. We've used a couple of different ones, especially when everything shut down and it was quarantined and we didn't leave the house. That was pretty much how we shopped for a little while. And I actually don't mind grocery shopping, so I will I do it some.
Okay. So now find somebody to come here and wash these damn clothes and I'm all in, man.
Who's your favorite swimsuit model?
It's Tyra Banks. I had Tyra Banks on the wall in my dorm room. So Tyra, when she had that damn lime green, she had that lime green two-piece on. Woohoo.
See, when I was in high school and college, it was Kathy Ireland.
Short by
age. And then of late, it's been Mrs. Verlander.
Who?
Justin Verlander's wife.
Kate Upton.
Oh.
Kate Upton.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Katie. We got to go, Chris.
Where are we going next? Let's see. Oh, Brent Hubbs will join us. We'll talk a little more SEC football. Brent Hubbs, VolQuest.com. We'll talk about Tennessee and the 2020 college football season. That's next on the Midday Show. Chris Goforth in for Andy Bunker, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.